Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You might have a freedom to be able to have a glass of wine. The Bible says that there are many dozens of warnings against alcohol. Because you and I know that you yourself could start to drink some and then it get out of control quickly. The problem with a couple of beers is once you have a couple of beers, you want a couple more beers. Then you want a couple more beers. And so you might have a freedom, but that freedom might end up hurting you.
We are free, but we do not always walk in that freedom. We are free, but sometimes we abuse that freedom and allow it to lead us into sin, or we make others stumble. We are talking about the freedoms we have in Christ, what they mean to us, and what they mean to those around us. Here's part two of our study in Romans 14, 13 to 23 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Charles Spurgeon was preaching a message on sin, talking about kind of like what I did in the beginning of this study, how evil sin is, how you got to get rid of it, how it's destructive behavior, and you're going to be sorry if you don't get rid of it, stay away from it. And so he had a pastor that was on stage with him, and he said, hey, why don't you come here and give the conclusion of this message? It's an American pastor. So he comes up and he says, I want to finish this by getting specific, and I want to talk to you about the evils of smoking. Charles Spurgeon has never hidden the fact that he smokes. So Charles Spurgeon's back there and he listens to this guy go over all the evils of smoking. Then Charles Spurgeon gets up and says, the Bible says whatever you do, whatever you eat and whatever you drink, do to the glory of God. And I'll tell you that I smoke my cigars to the glory of God. And then he dismissed the people who were there. Now, how this exactly happened differs in the stories. But one of the stories says that he was walking down past one of his local cigar shops and that he saw a poster with him on it and a box of cigars that had the name of the cigars that said, the cigars Spurgeon smokes. And he was so struck by that. And also by this time they had realized the nicotine problems and people had been trying to stop smoking and were not able to. And all of that together with him knowing now that people were having difficulty stopping smoking and that smoking was not healthy, he never smoked again. That's how the story goes. He never smoked again. That all of that together, when he saw that they were using it to advertise for other people, he didn't want his influence as a pastor to be used to sell cigars. He wanted his influence to be sold for Christ. So eventually, no matter how much he stuck up for it, he saw his restriction to his liberty based on how it affected other people. Now that's what we have to too. We have liberties. And the truth is, most of these gray areas are probably okay. There may be some, and I say probably because I don't know what you're thinking of as a gray area. And you might be thinking of something as a gray, and it ain't a gray area at all, all right? So I say probably, but most of these gray areas are okay. And if you understand your freedom in Christ, then you're gonna say, I'm okay to do this. But there might be reasons you would restrict your own freedom. For example, Paul said, I have great liberty, but I choose to do those things that edify me. Paul said, I can do all kinds of things, but I only do those things that edify me. Paul's kind of like, I have a short time here. I'm being used by God. Why would I go out and do a bunch of stuff that doesn't edify me? We could say that today. We have the right to go to certain movies. We have freedom to be able to do so. But you might say, you know what? I'd rather go to something that edifies me rather than something that feeds my flesh and might kind of lead me into another way later on. So we might restrict our freedom because that edifies us. Now, Paul gives us some other reasons why we might restrict our freedom. He says in verse 13 of chapter 14 of Romans, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. Stop judging people. Remember, the Nunya principle applies. None your business. That principle applies. Let other people do what they're going to do. Stop running around putting your nose in everybody's business and trying to be some kind of Pharisee telling people what they can and cannot do. Stop judging people. Let us not judge one another anymore. But rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way. That you would resolve that no matter what, if I think something is okay, and they think it's not okay, I don't want to put a stumbling block in their way. Eating meat was a big deal in their day because, well, the Jews would never eat meat that was sacrificed in a temple. And a lot of the Christians in Rome were Jewish. But the Gentiles, they were used to eating their meat, buying their meat in the markets that had been sacrificed to Diana or to Hermes or to Jupiter or to, you know, any of the other gods, that pantheon of them. So they were used to doing that. Well, when they came to Christ, they realized these gods are nothing. They're no one. The meat's been sacrificed to them, but it doesn't matter. It hasn't done anything to the meat. I can buy the meat and I can eat it. But you have a Jewish Christian over here that is perhaps understanding his freedoms and liberties of not being under the law. So maybe he's even taken a step to eat something that isn't kosher, which is a big step for someone who's Jewish and been brought up Jewish. And there were Hellenistic Jews and more traditional Jews from Jerusalem. There's a difference between them. And he comes to your house to eat, and you plop down a big old ribeye steak from the Temple of Diana, and he just can't take it. He just can't take it. Maybe he gets so frustrated, so upset, that he goes back to Judaism. That might be an extreme case, but that's the idea. You're going to cause someone to stumble so you can enjoy a ribeye on that night when you very well could have prepared something that would not have been offensive to him at all. Alcohol is probably the great example in our day and probably the best example in our day. There are a lot of guys who will teach that having a drink at a dinner, having a couple of drinks is wrong completely. They'll say that the alcohol content in the days of Jesus was about 2%. And there's no way you could get drunk off of that. It is true that they purified their water source with wine and other alcohol, by the way. They would pour the alcohol into their water. It would kill the bacteria and purify it. You can imagine that they needed to do that, so they had alcohol that was around. However, I don't know that we can say that that's all that they ever drank, that the wine Jesus made when he made it before the wedding was only 2%, because the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine. If it was such a low alcoholic content that you couldn't get drunk with it, why would the Bible say, don't be drunk with wine? And here's what we know. People got drunk in their day. The Bible said, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We also know that the Corinthian church had alcohol that they took communion with. At the Lord's table, they took communion with wine and bread, and that some were coming early and gluttonizing and eating the bread and drinking the wine and getting drunk in church, if you can imagine. So that Paul said, you guys are so irreverent when you approach the Lord's table. We're remembering his death. We're remembering the crucifixion, and you get drunk there. And so Paul said, some of you are sick and some of you are dying. Because that's happening. So we know that they were able to get drunk on the wine that they were taking for communion. So that's kind of a moot argument. You might have a freedom to be able to have a glass of wine. The Bible says that there are many dozens of warnings against alcohol. Because you and I know that you yourself could start to drink some and then it get out of control quickly. The problem with a couple of beers is once you have a couple of beers, you want a couple more beers. Then you want a couple more beers. And so you might have a freedom, but that freedom might end up hurting you. You may say, I have a freedom here and it's not restricted, but that freedom might end up hurting you. But worse yet, it might end up hurting someone else. It's interesting. For people that have alcoholics in their family, it can kind of either be passed on and they become alcoholics as well, or they hate alcohol and will stay away from it completely because they saw where it leads. Where someone that has never had someone who they really know that has shown alcoholic behavior, they don't have that same experience and they might feel like it's better and like it's okay. I listened to a podcast called Sober. It's not a Christian podcast, called Sober, where they bring people on and they interview them. It's a 12-step kind of a podcast. And so they interview people on what alcohol did to them, how they became sober, and why they're sober. So it just kind of discusses these things. And it's a podcast for people that are alcoholics to be able to listen to and maybe get some help on how other people were able to deal with their particular problem. And this gal that was being on this particular podcast said, when I was at work, again, this is not a Christian podcast. She says, when I was at work, my friends would say, let's go have a drink after work. So I would go with them to have a drink. And they literally could have one drink, she said. They would have a drink, they would stop. But I would have a drink, and before their drink was done, I'd have two drinks, and then three drinks. And then I had drank in a bottle of wine or two bottles of wine, and then I'd drive my car home and get a DUI. Then after I got a DUI, I stumbled home so drunk I couldn't even find my way home because I couldn't stop. And she said, I learned for myself, I can't have a drink because if I have a drink, I'm gonna have another and another and another and another. You have to be aware of that when you're considering your freedoms, especially if you've never been involved with it before, that those things happen. But also, if you feel like there's a freedom and you have a drink, and someone who has that struggle sees you drink, and so they drink, and then they stumble, your freedom now, you might be able to make a strong case for it. The Bible never says, don't have a glass of wine. Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach, which tells us a couple of things, that Timothy probably didn't drink, because Paul had to tell him, take a little wine for your stomach. Maybe there was a water source problem, and the alcohol in the wine that he would take would kill the bacteria that was causing the problems within his stomach. But also that Paul said, take a little wine for your stomach. You'd be able to make a case, but are you gonna destroy someone? Are you gonna sit down and have a drink with someone that feels like they can't do it or that has some kind of a problem with them? That's what Paul's saying. He goes on to say here, let me read that again. He says, I know, verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord that there is nothing unclean in itself. It's all kinds of freedoms that you and I have, nothing unclean in itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, it is unclean. His conscience tells him it's unclean. And maybe for a reason. Maybe what is your freedom is not a freedom for him, so his conscience strikes him. And our conscience is to us what our nerves are. Our conscience is to our spirit what our nerves are to the body. I have a pot that I call the pot of goodness at home. I think it's a cast iron pot that and you bake it at whatever, put it on the stove, you can cook things on it. I'm gonna have it on the stove, I'm cooking things on it. I don't realize how well the heat transfers in this thing. And I grab the lid and it's super hot and I never will do that again. It was just for a second, but it was so brutal. I guarantee you, I will never reach up and just grab that lid again. Other lids, yes, that lid, no way. It told me you're injuring yourself. Don't do that, you idiot. That's what it was telling me. So your conscience tells you when you're doing something wrong that you're injuring yourself. And you may not have a conscience that tells you not to have a drink, but another Christian does. And it might be there for a reason. And so you ignore their conscience. And if your conscience says don't do it and you do it, then for you it's sin to do it. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, when it comes to these gray areas, listen to your conscience. Your conscience is there for a reason. God knows the bigger picture. And so if your conscience says not to do it, then don't do it. Verse 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Now we know that if me eating something is causing someone to stumble, then I need to walk in love towards them, that I'm not gonna eat that food. I'm certainly not gonna eat that food in front of them. And if it is such a big issue in the culture, I might not eat that food at all. He says, do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died for. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. We might have freedoms, but different cultures have different things that are wrong. And so if I am in a culture where caffeine is looked down upon as Christians, and there are cultures for that, Christians can't drink caffeine. It's funny in a culture too, that Christians can't drink caffeine, having a beer isn't a problem. And in America, having caffeine, I mean, we love it. We have, you know, we have our Bible studies at Starbucks. We're drinking as much caffeine as we can. But understanding your culture, and if your good is spoken of as evil, then people that are on the outside, your reputation for Christ is hurt. Don't let what is good for you be spoken of as evil. Be aware of what the culture is saying. He says, therefore, the kingdom of God is not eating, drinking. eating and drinking. That's not what makes up the kingdom of God. These things can easily be sacrificed for the sake of a weaker brother. But righteousness, and the word righteousness means that you're in a right relationship with God, first of all, and then you're in a right relationship with the people around you. When the Bible says that Job was a righteous man, it meant that his relationship with God was right and his relationship with all the people that he interacted with were right. He didn't let anything out there that wasn't right. He's righteous. The kingdom of God is righteousness, having right relationships. And peace, not bickering and arguing and fighting, not doing something just to get you. I know that to you it's a problem, and I do it so that you can now not be at peace. And the Holy Spirit, and he says, for he who serves Christ in these things, righteousness, peace, and the Holy Spirit, is acceptable to God and approved by men. These things are things that men approve and God approves as well. That's a good place for us to be. Therefore, let us pursue the things which are made for peace and the things which one may edify another. Earlier I had said that we choose to limit our liberties because it might not be edifying to me. It might just be neutral, no problem with it, but it doesn't edify me. So because I want to be edified, I choose to do those things that edify me. Now Paul is saying, choose to do those things that edify other people. Not only thinking about ourselves, but brothers and sisters in Christ. What I'm doing is going to edify them. He says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure. Notice that statement. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. You might be perfectly fine between you and God having a glass of wine with your meal. But some Christian comes over to your house, you put wine on the table, now they're greatly offended by it. It's become sin to you. If you aren't considering them and where they're at and what is an offense to them, then that offense has become sin to you. The Bible says not to be easily offended. And some people are easily offended. Some people are offended by everything. I had a guy one time that was offended by my car. I drive a 2012 Charger. Had a guy who was like, a Charger? Really? You drive a Charger? I'm like, what's wrong with that? I don't know if he thought it's a gas guzzler, if he thought it was too flashy for a pastor. What am I supposed to drive? I don't know. But anyway, we can be offended by anything. For my own personal life, here's what I determine. I determine, first of all, that I'm not going to be easily offended. If you want to offend me, you probably can. So I'm not saying you can't, okay? Because things can be said that offend, but I try not to be easily offended. I try to let things bounce off quick. I try not to be offended. I try to give you liberties. I don't want to judge anybody. I want leniency from God. I don't want to judge people. So I don't want to be offended easily. The Bible tells us that. It says don't be easily offended. Some of us are way too easily offended. But also the Bible says offenses are going to come. They're going to happen. But woe unto you who bring them, or woe unto the one that brings them. So offenses are going to take place, but woe to the person that brings them. So I want to be the person who isn't offended easy, but also doesn't offend easily. There may be people who are offended by me, but I don't want that to be easy. I don't want to offend people easy. I want to be considerate. And I also don't want to be one who is offended easy. Boy, if we could all do that, if that's the way we really interacted with one another, if we really all said, I'm not going to be easily offended, and I'm going to be careful that I don't offend people. Offenses are going to happen, but let it not be me. Then all this middle ground stuff would go away. We wouldn't have to worry about all of these things. I'm not saying we wouldn't do any of the gray areas. I'm simply saying we would have those restrictions in our lives in the right place where we were loving people and caring for people, where we could walk in the freedoms that we have, but not be an offense to someone else. And so he says, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine. He throws wine into this doubtful things. Or do anything that causes your brother to stumble or offended or made weak. Don't do anything that's going to do those three things. Going to cause them to stumble. We certainly don't want their faith to be hurt and for them to be led back into sin. Had a friend who, I have a friend who is a PK. He's a pastor's kid. PKs sometimes have a lot of trouble. They grew up in the church, you know, and he rebelled. Went heavily into alcoholism. Became an alcoholic. Today, he considers himself to be sober, which is a term that an alcoholic uses, sober. We were in We were in Greece, and in Greece, they just brought this licorice alcohol out to our table. And it was really funny because we're all sitting there, and this licorice alcohol gets brought out to the table, and I guess they do this everywhere in Greece. And so we're all there, and we're all Christians. It's our latest trip to Greece we're on. And we're all there, and we all pick it up. And we're all like, what is this? And then somebody says, well, that's alcohol. And we all put it back down. It was just like this whole table. Drunk. And my friend who's there, who's his pastor's son, who's had trouble with alcoholism, says, you can take these away. We're not going to drink them. And he goes, you don't want to drink them. This is a Greek guy, right? It's his restaurant. You don't want to drink them. Why wouldn't you want to drink? And he goes, well, I'm allergic. He goes, you're allergic to alcohol? He goes, yeah, it makes me break out in handcuffs. I thought that's the best line ever. Hey, if we have liberty and we drink and we're with someone who breaks out in handcuffs when we drink, and that does happen, then we don't want to destroy them for our own liberty. So we don't want to cause them to stumble. We don't want to offend them. And we just need to take the fact that they're weak. They just don't understand all of the freedoms that they have in Christ. He says, do you have faith? Have it in yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself with what is approved. He's saying, listen, you have freedoms. Enjoy your freedoms. Happy is he who doesn't condemn himself in what is approved. If it's okay, don't condemn yourself. However, all of the things he's talked about before have to come into play. Edifying yourself, edifying one another, the weaker brother, offenses that happen out there, causing someone to stumble. Then he says in verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat in faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. He's simply saying, if your conscience strikes you, then don't do it. Because if you doubt and then you do it, you're only going to end up hurting yourself. And if there's anything we want between us and God, it's sincerity. We want to do what we do because we believe that it is right or that it is wrong. And there are things we know are wrong, there's things we know that are right. And then we want to take these gray areas and work through them with love, considering everyone whom we are around. And your witness. Don't let what is good for you be spoken of as evil. In other words, don't do something that the culture doesn't think Christians should be doing, or you're going to end up ruining your reputation, even though you might have a freedom. You could also, and I don't have time, I'm out of time, which I should just stop now. Also, there are those that believe that they have freedoms when they're not really freedoms at all. Like Christians that tell dirty jokes or that speak coarsely. About 15 years ago, it became very popular for pastors to cuss from the pulpit. They'd say, this isn't PG Christianity. This is adult Christianity. Then they would cuss. And I think it was the YouTube era. So then they would get on YouTube and get like 25,000 hits on it because people would watch this pastor cuss. So we can also take something that is bad and sinful and call it good. And that's just as much of a problem. Stand up with me, would you? I should never have brought that up because I need to explain it more. But I'll do it at another time. Father, thank you so much for your word here. Let us really walk in love. Thank you for our freedom that we have in you. But we know there are times to restrict our freedom. May we do that wisely. May we really and truly love one another and never cause someone to stumble because of a freedom. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation?
email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.